Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Carolyn, for those readings. Can I say welcome back from the front here to Barry and Joe. Nice to catch up with you earlier. For those who don't know, Barry and Joe have returned from serving the church and the community in Kununurra. So welcome back. And Peter, nice to see you too. Look forward to catching up, an opportunity to catch up during morning tea time. Today we begin our new series in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, as you can see behind me there. And Sermon 1 today is all about the beginning of wisdom from that opening section. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in it you reveal yourself to us. We praise you for your wisdom, and we humbly ask you to give us your wisdom so that we might live well in your world. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How do I live well? Well, I asked Google this question and, of course, got an array of answers. Here is one answer that I'll share with you, the top answer, in fact, that Google gave me, 7 tips for a happier life, courtesy of the Mayo Clinic. 7 tips to live a happier life. 1, eat nourishing food. 2, sleep 7 to 8 hours per night. 3, keep company with good people. 4, avoid news overdose. What were you watching last night? Get regular exercise, number 5. 6, do something meaningful each day. 7, think good thoughts for others. Now, as with all of these things, there is some wisdom in some of these things. Well, probably most. Wisdom is one of those things that we weigh up. And we weigh it up with God's wisdom. Wisdom is all about living well. If you want a definition of what wisdom is, that's a good one, living well. And spoiler alert here, biblical wisdom is also about living well. But the key is to live well, you need to live in tune with reality. And the reality is, God is God, and we are not. God is our creator, and in his wisdom, he created all things in an orderly manner. God is truly wise and the source of all true wisdom. Understanding and living in tune with these things will make us wise and enable us to live well. In terms of background to the book of Proverbs, Ellen and Jerry have helped us with that already. Basically, the Old Testament has 3 sections: the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, as Jesus puts it. I've come to fulfill the law, the prophets, the Psalms. We might say writings instead of the Psalms. So the law, the prophets, and the writings. Each of these 3 sections has different parts within them. There are, for example, former and latter prophets. In terms of the writings, there are the Psalms and the wisdom literature. In terms of the wisdom literature, there are 3 main books: Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. Proverbs is primarily, but not exclusively, authored by King Solomon in the 10th century BC. We've been reminded that King Solomon asked God for wisdom and God gave it to him in abundance, 1 Kings chapter 3. Proverbs itself can be broken into seven parts, which mostly reflects the series that we will cover in church here. The preamble today, extended discourses on wisdom up to chapter 9, and then what we're probably most familiar with the Proverbs, the Solomon's Proverbs in those two sections, and then in between there's the sayings of the wise, and at the end there's the sayings of a couple of others. And we know Proverbs 31 at the end, the poem to the virtuous woman. So that's the general shape of the Proverbs. Now, my aim for this series is to dip into each of these sections. Obviously, we can't cover all of it in 6 weeks. Yes, 6 weeks. Can I encourage you to be reading through the Proverbs over the next couple of months as we work our way through it on a Sunday? You'll get a whole heap more out of this series if you read along the way. And Proverbs is a great book to be reading anyway. Who wouldn't want to access God's wisdom for living well in God's world? Here's a quote from Billy Graham. He says, "I used to read 5 Psalms every day. That teaches me how to get along with God. Then I read a chapter of Proverbs every day, and that teaches me how to get along with my fellow man." Chapter of Proverbs a day, not a bad way to go. Okay, so let's get into Proverbs itself. Beginning with the fear of the Lord, let me read the preamble, the prologue again. If you have your Bible open, we're at chapter 1, verse 1. "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise." And we narrow in on verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So right from the start in the prologue, we learn that the fear of the Lord is foundational. Here in verse 7, chapter 1, we're told that it is the beginning of knowledge, true knowledge about God and his world and how we should live in it. The fear of the Lord is repeated throughout Proverbs and the rest of the wisdom literature, especially in chapters 1 to 9 of Proverbs. Here's a couple of examples. In chapter 9, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer." Why do we fear the Lord? Because he is God, and we are not. He is our creator. He is our judge. He sees everything. He sees everything. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Proverbs 5:21, "For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths." This is the reality, and we would be wise to live in tune with it. To deny the existence of God, to live as though he is not our creator, and not our judge is to be a fool. It's to live contrary to the reality. The reality is that we aren't here by chance. Ricky Gervais is a famous mocker. He mocks God and therefore he mocks judgment. There's a quote from him. When you are dead, you do not know you are dead. It's only painful and difficult for others. The same applies when you are stupid. It is funny, but it's also misguided. The reality is that we will die and be called to account for the life we have lived. The other thing to say is that the fear of the Lord is foundational because it connects wisdom and obedience. What do I mean by that? Well, the fear of the Lord is foundational in the law and the prophets as well as in the writings. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says to the people of Israel as they prepare to enter the promised land, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, all his commands, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good." So the fear of the Lord results in obedience to God's commands in life for our good. And the fear of the Lord results in wisdom in applying God's word to life for our good. In other words, obedience and wisdom are like two streams flowing into one river. I'm sure there's a technical name for that. And it's the fear of the Lord that brings them together. We learn in Proverbs that wisdom was there in the beginning. Point two, if you're following the outline. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. And then in chapter 8, verse 22, speaking of wisdom, "The Lord brought me," that is wisdom, "forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed long ago, long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there was no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there. When he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind." God's wisdom is eternal. It precedes creation. It preceded man, humanity. Wisdom was active in creation. I don't know, as you hear that read, it sounds very much like Jesus, doesn't it? We know that the New Testament teaches that God the Son is eternal. He preceded creation. He was active in creation. All things were created by him and for him, Colossians 1:16. In fact, speaking of Jesus Christ, God the Son in the flesh, the Apostle Paul writes, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Christ Jesus is the very embodiment of wisdom, the New Testament teaches. So we read Proverbs in that knowledge. We glean from Solomon's wisdom, but we know that one greater than Solomon has come. Returning to Proverbs, we learn, point three, that God gives true wisdom. In chapter 2, Solomon writes from verse 1, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry loud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk, is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you." It is the Lord God who gives true wisdom and knowledge. Sure, there is much knowledge and wisdom in the world. Anyone know that library? The City of Sydney Library, I think, is the new building they've built there. There's a lot to learn. We want to learn about our worlds. We want to learn about our work. We want to learn about relationships, about marriage and family and friendships. We want to learn about right and wrong. We want to learn justice. We want to learn about leadership, how to lead well and govern well. We want to learn about earning and using money well. Proverbs covers all these subjects. We want to learn about life's frustrations and meaning and purpose. Ecclesiastes. We want to learn about evil in the world. Why is there wickedness and injustice? Job. There is much knowledge and wisdom in the world about all these things, but we need to weigh it with God's wisdom and knowledge. For God's wisdom is good for our heart, the proverb says. His knowledge for our soul. God's wisdom is also good for our physical health, it says, our whole body and soul, because it puts us on every good path. And thank God that he is wonderfully generous in giving his wisdom. We have it in the Proverbs. We have it in all of Scripture. For ultimately, Scripture makes us wise for salvation in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:15. God has generously and graciously given us his Son to be our wisdom. The world says we are foolish for following a crucified king, but we know that Christ is our wisdom from God. He is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption, to quote the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:30. True wisdom is found in God's word, and in particular in God's word who became flesh. The Proverbs point to Jesus. So let's apply this if we haven't already. The Proverbs basically is life application from start to end. But firstly, our takeaway for today is we must fear the Lord. There is no true wisdom without fearing the Lord, for the fool says in his or her heart, there is no God. In chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, we have a good definition of what it means to fear the Lord. You might be familiar with these verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. There's a humility here, isn't there? A true humility, a humility that acknowledges I don't know everything. In fact, compared to God Almighty, I know nothing. Trust in the Lord, to depend on him, to rely on him, knowing that he is good and he wants what is best for me. He has my best interest at heart, so I'm going to trust him. Submission to him in everything, not just some things, but in everything, it would be wise. Often, humanity, we ourselves, are prone to thinking that we are wise, that we can acquire true wisdom apart from God, that we can even find wisdom within ourselves. Do not be wise in your own eyes is the starting place of true wisdom. We must look to God to find it. Application 2, discern between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom. If we believe that all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ, we will look to him for our wisdom. We will bolster our understanding of him, his gospel, and his will for our life. We will do that so that we can weigh up everything we hear, everything we read, everything we look at on the television, everything we learn, holding on to the good and rejecting the evil. In the New Testament, the letter of James is rich in Christian wisdom. In chapter 3, he writes of the two wisdoms. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." And then the positive, he says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." And doesn't our world need to hear and learn this at this present time? Even today, God willing, there is peace in Hyde Park. Our wisdom comes from heaven. Jesus, the embodiment of wisdom, and he changes who we are from the inside out. He transforms our character and relationships, and more of this next week and the weeks to come. Lastly, in terms of application, we must begin by receiving the wisdom that God offers. God is good. God is generous. God is gracious. He offers us abundant wisdom in his word. He offers us true wisdom for life in Christ. In James 1:5, there's a promise. "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So if you haven't yet begun your journey with God's wisdom, if you don't yet have the foundation in your life, then pray, ask God to give it to you. You must be willing to humble yourself, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You have to be willing to submit to him as your creator and your judge. But if you do, the promise is life in Christ, wisdom, the key to living life well, living according to the reality that this is God's world and you are his and he wants what is best for you. If you are already in Christ, then you know where wisdom is found. If you need guidance or direction, a decision to make, which way shall I go? If you want to know how to please God and to live well as a follower of Christ, dig into the Proverbs. What a great starting place. And move through to Christ. Learn from him. Sit at his feet. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, says our teacher. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We're going to sing in response.
Good timing.